This is VSiN, the sports betting network.
This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Friday morning edition of VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross right here at the Mint Gaming Hall in Franklin, Kentucky. There's our closer, Jens Lewis, back home in Cleveland, Ohio. Good Friday morning to you, sir. How was Thursday night? Did you get expend any extra sleep to get up to watch some of this Open Championship early this morning?
Yeah, team indoor activities with just what I can only describe, Dave, as a scene from a movie. Our thoughts and prayers to everyone north of the border, all here in the Midwest and the East Coast that are dealing with this ridiculous air quality stuff from the wildfires. Yeah. Dave, we reached the low 500s in AQI yesterday, which is like you're walking through a volcano almost with how hazardous the air is. And I can only describe it as like you feel like you're walking outside in a movie scene. You can't see tops of houses. We couldn't see downtown for people going down there yesterday. So to roundaboutly answer your question, yeah, we stayed inside. We watched a little Mets Phillies. It looks like there the apocalypse is on the Mets here. And we'll be watching a little bit more of the golf here for today and tomorrow for sure.
Lots of updates there. I was surprised they got that game in. We'll talk about that here with the Phillies and Mets with that air quality that we alluded to. Stephen Hennessy is going to be kind enough to join us a little bit later on this morning to give us a live update of what's going on over there at the British Open, the Open Championship, and see if there's any numbers and names that you should hop in on if you're waking up early this morning here across the United States. And Anthony DeBundo is going to be back with us. We got one more to go. Well, we have two matches to go. One more for everything when we get to Argentina and Spain. And yes, there is a third place game between England and France that will break down with Anthony as well as the day goes. But let's get to it over there in Royal Birkdale, the last major of the year. That's where we begin our highlights and headlines.
Help your bottom line with today's highlights and headlines.
It's not Justin Herbert, our Chargers star quarterback here in the United States. It's Lucas Herbert. The Australian is officially on a heater, Jensen, this morning. He started the day even par. He is 7 under par through 11 holes. Your outright leader right now. 2 over the clubhouse leader of Jackson Suber, the young American, actually playing pretty well. Jensen, even par, about to wrap up his day number 2 over there at 5 under par. And don't look now. Okay, you can look. Your guy, Colin Morikawa, just made another birdie as we came on the air here. He is also at 5 under par. It's not moving day, but it feels like it today, Jensen. Lots of guys going low over there in England early this morning.
Yeah, a couple of our big names, too. Ludwig is also 4 under through 7 right now. He is 3 under for the championship, so he is tied for 9th. The villain, Patrick Reed, also 4 under for the day, making the turn. He is now tied for 18th at 2 under for the championship. And boy, was it a dry hump yesterday from Colin Morikawa. He was 3 under through 9. And I thought, oh, we got a chance for first round leader here. It didn't come down. It's all right. No worries. I did have one ad this morning. I jumped on the red, white, and blue. Chris Goddard at 40-1. I know he is 1 under for the tournament. Through the turn today's right there at that same number. Yeah, so he is making a little bit of a move up the leaderboard here. I think my first question for you would be from the elements that we saw yesterday and what you've already seen early this morning, advantageous for the morning group versus the late group again, like we saw yesterday. What's your take so far?
It does feel like that, Jensen, and watching those guys last night in the Golf Channel. And by the way, we had Rex Hoggard on early in the week. Those guys have been doing a fantastic job of trying to break this down and certainly can help you out from a handicapping perspective. It feels like you don't want to say you're going to get a carbon copy every day, but it feels like all 4 days might play very similarly to what we saw yesterday and what we're seeing so far today, in that if you do get off early before the winds come up, and the winds, even when they come up, Jensen, aren't too perplexing, but they are changing the direction. It feels like in the afternoon that might confuse the players a little bit. But here's one thing I've noted, and in comparison, say, to the PGA Championship, the second major of the year. Guys aren't walking off this golf course, Jensen, going to the media and bitching and moaning about the conditions of the golf course setup. They all like the setup. So the only thing that's kind of deterring them would be Mother Nature, if there's any of that. And so far today, it doesn't feel like there's a whole lot of that, and that's why we're getting really good scoring. Nobody is saying anything's tricked up. And, at Aronimink, I think there were complaints by guys like Rory and Scotty about maybe they tricked up the golf course. Mother Nature could have done the job in and of itself. That's the feel we're getting here, a true Lynx golf test. And right now, a couple guys on the outside looking in, this is something we'll monitor and we'll know before our show is done. Rory McIlroy is outside the cut line at 2 over par. Matt Fitzpatrick outside the cut line as well at 2 over par. The cut line is sitting at 1 over par right now. So those guys have work to do, Jensen, as they're getting ready to get close to making the turn. So we'll keep you updated on those rounds and their scores in particular before you hop in on any more live action. Spain, Argentina. My goodness. I was talking about this with my buddy Chris Seibert, who was in town. He and I go back to fifth grade. He's a big soccer guy. I've never been. And I said, hey, man, even I have been captivated by this in a non-United States semifinal and now final. And it's like, yeah, this has been as good as it gets for maybe if you're FIFA outside of the U.S., Jensen, Spain, Argentina, I don't know that you can want a whole lot more.
No, and I mean, considering that the semifinals were the top four in the FIFA rankings, I don't think they would have been upset with any matchup that they would have gotten for Sunday afternoon. We do have still that third place match on Saturday. I've been trying to handicap this and think on the motivation angle, golden boot implications here for Mbappe. Will there be a really forceful defense from either side? Like, they really don't care. So, what does this really mean, and where could we possibly exploit it? I do think an over is probably the way to go, and I know it's juiced to hell. Maybe the over and both teams to score. Just trying to find something that resembles some really decent betting value there. But as far as where we are for the World Cup final on Sunday, I can't get away from what Chris Vasili kind of talked about with us yesterday in looking at how Spain's defense continues to be something that you must respect here. I know he's got an Argentina 9-1 ticket to win it all. I would imagine that he'll have some shares of Spain to win or Spain to lift the trophy. I think that's kind of where I'm at. I haven't made anything yet, Dave. Mm. I'm still on the under here. I still think it's a very tightly contested match and more leaning into Spain here. So I know we'll talk about this more in earnest, but I think, boy, La Roja looked very, very compelling here headed into Sunday afternoon.
If we could just stop the second half of the baseball season, Jensen, the Mets would be your second half champions. 1-0 with the 4-1 win yesterday in Philadelphia. Look, good pitching performance, Christian Scott. You were tweeting about or texting to me and Joe, our esteemed producer, Joe Friso, about the Mets with guys that are going to be on the block. And I think that really is the bigger thing that came out of this win last night, Jensen. I don't think this Mets roster is going to look close to what it looked like last night and what it's looked like so far this year. And it hasn't been good. So you can understand why changes might be coming.
Yeah, they pulled it within 11 and a half games of a playoff spot. So really good. Nice head of steam that they have coming out of the break. Yeah, just one of the weird oddities of the 2026 schedule where they'll have the off day today. By the way, I did see that all 30 teams released their 2027 schedules. That's very cute, as if they think that we're going to start on time. Good luck with that. But yeah, I think this is going to be a unique trade deadline. I've talked a little bit with you about it. This again, because you have so many teams that are within three or four games of a playoff spot, we really, Dave, I don't think get much movement until probably the final days before August 3rd.
Speaking of baseball, how about this money move here? Chase Burns, a great headline here. Yeah. Money to Burns, as Joe says. 7 years, $105 million extension. This is the kind of the promise of Cincinnati, right? He was going to promise to them that this was going to be the guy he looks like. Jensen, we don't know how this is going to play out. And you see, if you're watching here on FanDuel Sports Network, if you're watching and certainly watching also on YouTube TV from Jeff Passan there, this deal will run through 2033. Jensen, feels like a 23, maybe a win-win for both sides.
Dave, I was served propaganda on MLB TV from the ownership side about why a salary cap is needed because, the small market teams can't compete. They don't have the money to spend to be able to retain these kind of stars. Well, Dave, this is a pretty sizable schedule. It is the largest guarantee given to a pitcher in Reds history, and it's tied for the third largest overall. In total dollars, that $105 million contract equals that of a great friend of the program, former guy I competed against, Homer Bailey, who signed that back in 2014. And Joey Votto still has the title for the largest extension ever given at $225 million. But yes, the reports of mid-market teams and small market teams not being able to compete grossly overstated from the propaganda we've received on MLB TV. Bottom line, what a phenomenal move here for Cincinnati. You know, this is with designs of him and Hunter Green when healthy being as lethal a 1-2 combo. The Reds are going to be active at the deadline, Dave. They do have some pieces that they're going to be able to offload and get some other guys back. I fully expect that this rotation has a nice bounce back in them. And boy, you have your ace of the future, and you hope that he and Hunter Green can stay healthy for years to come.
It seemed like we thought Bam Adebayo and Tyler Herro would have been tight. They were boys we thought back in their Miami days, get all the way to the final, if you remember that from yesteryear. Apparently, there's going to be no punishment, as our guy Shams Charania points out here on ESPN, because there was an incident in Las Vegas. Kids, look it up. Where apparently Big Bam decked Tyler Herro. But because, I guess, Jensen, it didn't happen necessarily, well, apparently in a casino, not on the basketball floor, I guess we're good with this, and there's going to be no punishment coming from the league.
I love it. A gentleman handling their business, okay?
There we go.
And we're done. Thank you very much. Yeah. Move on to the business of the day.
Don't need to get the NBA and the league involved in this one. So bam-bammed on Tyler Herro, but I guess we're okay. Let's do some open championships, some live numbers and late ads. That's next right here, Visa by the Books. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match it. Here's the thing. Pro bettors, they spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't know and don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you're going to get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and so much more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
There is no shortage of betting opportunities this summer from daily Major League Baseball. We've got the World Cup Soccer Final coming up on Sunday. Countdown to our football season continues. That's why it is now the perfect time to lock in VSiN's football special for just $175. So you're going to get full VSiN Pro access through the Super Bowl, which includes our all-new 2026 and 2027 NFL betting guide to help you attack those futures, win totals, divisional races, and the upcoming season in totality. Plus, you're going to get our daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop projections, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app, and coverage of every major sport all season long. Remember, the earlier you sign up, the more value you will get. So head over to VSiN.com/subscribe right now. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Jensen, we are on record watch right now at Royal Birkdale because the Aussie, Lucas Herbert, is on an absolute heater. He is 8 under par through 12 holes. Now, when we came on the air, he was still 14-1 to potentially win this United States Open. Long way to go. He is still not the betting favorite. Scottie Scheffler is about plus 455, by the way. But Herbert, even in the time that we've been on the air, is now under 9-1. So this is an 8 under through 12 round that he has going on. Now, here's the history of it. The lowest round in the history of the British Open is a 62. Brendan Grace did it back in the 2017 championship at Royal Birkdale, ironically, where we are this week. So the last time we were here, we saw a 62. If he pars out the rest of the way, Jensen, he will tie that 62. But he still has a couple par fives set to play. There is a real chance that on our watch today, Jensen Lewis, we could get history at the British Open. Lucas Herbert, three shots clear right now. Jackson Suber at 500 par. And your guy, Colin Morikawa, making a real nice move. He's 300 through nine, making the turn there at 500 par. So we'll keep an eye on this record watch that we might have here with Lucas Herbert and see how that plays out in the betting market. But as you can already see, with that drift already with Herbert starting to run away, you're seeing Scotty get a little bit longer, and he hasn't teed off at 200 par. Jensen, I wonder if some people might want to hop in knowing that this golf course right now is very, very gettable.
Certainly. I added Chris Goddard up at 40-1 before we came on to win, and like where he's going. By the way, you mentioned projected cut is even at the moment, and we still have the, you know, the afternoon wave across the pond that is yet to go. Notable in a couple of areas here, Dave, our no-fly zone looking pretty decent right now, at least on my side. Brooks Koepka right now one over par. As he makes the turn, he would be cut. He was one of those that you and I both looked at and said we'd be fading this week, as so far it looks like he has got some ground to make up here, shot off the cut line. Victor Hovland, who gave it all away yesterday, knew he would. The inconsistency with the putter was something I was very worried about, or at least high on the angle that I don't think he can make the weekend. He is on the cut line before even teeing off. So he is even par for the tournament. That is where the cut line is. And I think the biggest shocker for us is Bryson DeChambeau, right? It was a guy that was going for the infamous grand slam of missed cuts for this tournament. He is three under. Credit where it's due. Hat tip, man. He came out firing yesterday. Really looked solid. So if the tournament, you know, is where it is right now, your expectation of the cut, will we be in red figures, minus one for the cut line, or do you think even might be it for guys where we might be here headed into the weekend?
I mean, I'd like selfishly for some of those guys and some of these parlays that we have to make the cut, know, move that number back. But remember, this is plus 70 in ties. And right now you've got a bunch of guys at even par, and that's why that cut line is jumbled there at even. To the point about the no-fly zone, you know, I picked Scottie Scheffler. Again, it wasn't necessarily that he was going to miss the cut, but it was more of a, do I want to play him at that number to win? And I did not. The other two were Brooks Koepka, who's outside the cut line, as you mentioned here, at one over par. He's making the turn right now, so he's got a little bit of work to do. My other guy was Xander Schauffele, who's got work to do as well. He's outside the cut line at plus one. So I think our exercise that we're doing there so far, well, if we got two of the three guys to miss the cut in our no-fly zone, I think we're doing yeoman's work to try to weed out guys you might not want to bet outrights to win this golf tournament. I understood why Bryson DeChambeau would be one of those guys that you'd look at in a no-fly zone potentially to have four MCs in major championship golf. And it kind of became this funny joke this week with a lot of the guys around Royal Birkdale. One of those guys is Sir Nick Faldo. Well, for you younger guys that might not know who he is, he's only one of the greatest champions in the history of golf with six majors to his ledger. He won three Open championships and three green jackets. So this is one of the all-timers. Nick has also made a career, a second career. He now is on BBC, of course, did the PGA Tour for a long time. He's very outspoken. He had some very candid comments before the tournament started as to why he gave Bryson, kind of like you, Jensen, zero chance of winning this week. And here is why Sir Nick Faldo thought that Bryson could not win here.
I'd say it to his face. He has zero clue of strategy. I mean, you don't. He said it last year, and I think on TV, I'm going to go out and attack the links. Well, I've never attacked a link. You thread it, don't you? You feed it down the fairway. It's really important. You look at humps and bumps and whatever. Thing. If I send it over and feed it, it nudges back into play. You don't think, oh, I'll just boom it down there. Can't see where I'm going. It's 20 yards wide. Oh, yeah, good luck.
You know, I think you've got to be a lot more strategic out on the golf course, and I feel like I did a really good job today of being incredibly strategic and focused super hard and placing it in the right places. Besides 18, I placed the ball in some good areas, but just need to get more fairways. Other than that, I felt like my strategy was nice today.
Well, golf played, clap, Bryson. Golf clap. Right, golf clap. Three strategics in the answer to go back and clap back at Sir Nick Faldo. Look, you know, I get where Nick was coming from, right? I really do, and I understand it. But, Jensen, I think the point is now the game is different from when Nick won those three Opens. He had to thread it, right? You had to keep the ball down. today's generation of player. We're seeing it with Jackson Suber, young American. We're seeing Johnny Kiefer, another young American. He's 3 under par. These guys bomb it, and they play it a different way than Sir Nick did. So I kind of understand both sides of it, and I don't mind it. Like, if you want to say something, I get to clap back. I think all is fair and love and golf in that instance.
Well, again, this isn't the first time that Bryson has taken some shots from some of the retirees and some of the greats to ever do it. But hey, the best rebuttal always on the field, on the course, go out, you know, and make them eat their words. And Bryson did it yesterday. Now, got to follow it up, right? And with where we were yesterday, looking at the afternoon wave, that's kind of why I'll bring this back to your attention here. I mean, we have so many guys, obviously paced by Lucas Herbert, who's 8 under for the day. Eric Cole had a 64. He was 6 under. Our boy Patrick Reed has the third lowest round of the day right now. He's 5 under through 11. That makes him tied for 9th at 3 under. And then Casey Jarvis from South Africa, Matt McCarty of these United States, both with 4 under. So it feels like the morning wave is really taking advantage. You mentioned yesterday you were texting about the wind kind of whipping up. Do you anticipate that being a factor for the afternoon guys when they go off?
I do, and that's what makes this handicap very tough if you're looking to hop in live, because Bryson, Scotty, Tommy Fleetwood, who's also under par at 1 under yesterday, they might get the tougher of the draw, and they talk about this a lot. Like, man, you know, like, we always kid about it, right? Like, Jack Nicklaus could go back to 1963 and talk about a weather draw he got at a British Open and how important it is to sometimes get the luck of said draw. So it feels like these guys that went out late early are getting the benefit of said draw. Like, you know, Bryson, to that point, he's plus 1150 right now, and he's sitting at 3 under par. Normally, Jensen, I would say, well, that's a hammerable spot. I got to play Bryson at almost 12. He's just flashed to 1175, and he hasn't teed off. So you could get 12-1 on Bryson. But I think, to your point about, do we really trust it? Do we really trust that 3 under that we saw from Bryson? I think we trust the Scottie Scheffler 2 under even more than we trust the Bryson 3 under. And so to that point, again, Scotty is still plus 455 in the betting market to win this. Colin Morikawa, by the way, is the second betting choice at plus 840. And here comes Lucas Herbert with this great round under 10-1. Those are the only three guys right now are in single digits to win this tournament outright. I don't know that I'm ready to trust it with Bryson. And I think that's the problem now. When you see these early good scores, as you laid out, Jensen, these guys in the afternoon, can they put together a 3-4 under, get to 7 or 8? Because it feels like that's where you probably want to be positioned to get to the weekend to have a realistic shot to win.
I'm excited to see kind of where we are headed in for the young guys towards the top. And, you know, some of these other bigger names. I thought Cameron Young was excellent yesterday. He's even par through 9. So just kind of, you know, positioning himself. Shane Lowry finally back on it. Like, seeing where the Euros kind of bounce back after getting their quote unquote feet wet. Bobby Mack in there too. You know, you got some other bigger names here that might be worth an ad live once we get through the second round.
And how about this? Rory McIlroy right now, right hovering on the cut line, he's still about 22-1 in the betting market. So they believe that this course is gettable for those big names to make a run, if not today, certainly tomorrow if you make the cut. What about who's going to make the cut for Sunday? Who's going to win this World Cup? We'll discuss that next right here on VSiN by the Books.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
We continue VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross and Jensen was here with you. We are fired up for the World Cup final on Sunday, Spain against Argentina. There is another match which could have certainly implications, whether it's top goal scorer, golden boot. We'll get to those discrepancies and differences here in a little bit, and that will be between France and England. But Jensen, the big one. We've down to 2. What a tournament this has been. I know some people are going to be prisoner of the moment and say it's the greatest that they've ever watched. I might be one of those people because I got to be honest with you. I haven't watched it as intently maybe through the decades as I have this one because of our purposes of what we do on this very show. And then when you get it to kind of live up to the hype, and as you mentioned, get 2 of the top 4 in the FIFA ranking. So really you could have split it up any way you wanted. You're going to get an electric final here, but we are going to get Argentina in Spain. Spain to hoist the cup here is $1.50. And again, that gets into regulation versus if there's extra time to get this win potentially here. You can get plus money in the Argentina side. Have you made a singular bet just on this? Because I know we both got tickets here in the futures market that if we did not make any other bets here, we'd be protected one way or the other. But on this match, if you had to isolate this handicap just for this one more match for all the marbles, how do you see it playing out?
Yeah, I'm probably going to get to Spain to lift the trophy, to win the cup for a couple of units, I think. And here's why. Defense wins championships. We say it a lot in our North American sports. So the same is held true. I mean, you've only conceded one goal, and I'm well aware of, you know, the theatrics of Argentina throughout this cup. I am not disqualifying the defending champs. You have to dethrone those boys and you got to go through them. And I love that. That's the challenge for Spain. I just love the structural edge and just the control of Spain. Mm. And I do feel there's an element of fatigue in Argentina that we might need to factor in here. Remember, Spain also have an extra day of rest here. All right. And they didn't need additional time. Not that Argentina did, but it's still, when you're playing catch up, Dave, and you're being pressed, you know, there's that odometer starts to tick up a bit more than you realize. And I wonder if Spain maybe have a smaller ability or a larger ability, I should say, and a small edge in that regard. To that end, I would also look at the 90 minute plus stoppage time. I would look at the under 2.5. The defensive quality for both sides has been there. Again, when you're looking at the final match here, it won't shock me if there is caution for both sides. I would expect possession to be relatively one-sided there with Spain. It's what they've done the entire time. Dave, the under 2.5 for 90 minutes is minus $1.65, which I don't think is really ridiculous to have to pay here. I think that is a way that I would probably end up going. And then I might, for a little fun money here, play Spain to lift the trophy and the under 2.5. And right now that's plus $1.72. I might do that for like a half unit. And you know, if it goes that way, that also takes out regulation. I pick the winner ultimately. And I think it's a defensive masterclass through 90 minutes. What I would hope, and I'll get your thoughts on where you are, 'cause I know you have the cross board parlay with Spain as one of those legs. Better if this game ends in regulation for you, or if it goes to extra time, are you wary of, here we go, Ghost of Christmas Past in Argentina through this World Cup? Do you feel more, do you feel more angst the longer this game goes and if it has to go to extra time with your Spain ticket?
That's kind of where I am, Jensen. And I felt the same way going into the France matchup where I was like, man, I just hope Spain scores first, so they get to implement their will and their defensive setup. And again, it's so ironic that we're saying that, and yet Argentina is the team that always falls behind and then figures out a way when people try to, like we saw with England, figure out a way to just run some clock here, and then you can't do that, and that has not been successful. But because, as you alluded to, the defense of Spain feels different when you've only allowed that one goal in the entire FIFA World Cup here, that I think they're going to say, oh, we'll take our chances. We get it, Argentina. We get it, Messi. We've seen what you've done. You have not seen our defense yet. So we get up. And by the way, and then if you guys overextend, we will counter. And you saw it with that second goal against France, to kind of put that thing away. They will take those opportunities if they present themselves. And it kind of feels like, in our analogy that we always talk about, it feels like a Top Gun. They do feel like Iceman. You get tired, you get bored, you get reckless, and that's when he's got you, right? And so, like, you got these wild cards, and it feels like Argentina might be kind of that wild card squad a little bit. And Messi, they're going to fly from the seat of their pants. That's exactly what Spain wants. They want to break you down. They want to make you do something stupid and give us an opportunity to counter. And when we do, we're going to score, and then you're never going to score on us. So I do like the Spain side here, but the longer it goes, if it is tied and or penalty kicks, oh my goodness, that's the last thing you want to see if you're Spain. And then you see Messi coming at you. And the storyline, you know, we kind of kiddingly talked about it. You know, Michael Jordan never lost a final, right? Tom Brady did. He lost 3 Super Bowls, right? But he went to a million of them. It's like you feel like you're going up against Brady. You feel like you're going up against MJ in a final when you go up against Messi now in a final. And this is the last time you ever see him or we ever see him collectively out there in the pitch. There is no greater storyline. And I think that's why, you know, when I get the security guard saying, is this thing fixed for Argentina? No, it's not. But you kind of feel like, you know, when they say Argentina, that they're getting some breaks, Jensen. And sometimes to the victors and the greats, like a Michael, like a Tom Brady, you do get the benefit, if there is a benefit of a doubt.
All right. So the only thing really left to be decided is, okay, what's the motivation on Saturday's third place match between France and England? And of course, the implications of the Golden Boot race. Now, we were having a discussion off air, and for people that are playing some of these futures, it bears repeating, there is a difference between the top goal scorer market and the Golden Boot market. And we want to illuminate that so that if you're looking to jump in here and you do think it's just, you know, back and forth track meet between France and England, the reason why Kylian Mbappe is the top goal scorer odds on at -$1.25 is because there's no tiebreakers in the top goal scorer market. Whereas in the Golden Boot, the tiebreaker is most assists, and that goes to Lionel Messi right now. So that's why you're seeing the difference in odds there, where Messi's almost, $2 favorite, I think, in the Golden Boot race. And then top goal scorer is Kylian Mbappe. And I can understand why the market is where it is, knowing that Messi's going to have to try and score on a Spain side that have conceded one goal the whole tournament. And we'll see what kind of resistance the defense is between England and France. It's kind of funny looking at some of these match lines and seeing, you know, where it is. There's not one up on DraftKings yet for the total. Actually, there is. I apologize. There is a total, and it's already at 3.5. Now the under is juiced, Dave. So do you have the stones to play an under in France and England? Here's a thought. Now I'll throw it out to you with this idea. Okay. I think I'm gonna get to an Mbappe anytime goal scorer. I don't anticipate this going to extra time, but if you want that insurance, Mbappe's -$1.85 for anytime goal scorer, including extra time on DraftKings. Harry Kane is +$1.05. Would we anticipate that both those guys score? If they do, that's +230 for a parlay if you think both of them get a goal. But I think Mbappe is going to get one. I think there is enough ego there that he wants at least an opportunity to get the Golden Boot.
Okay, that is such an interesting handicap, because I actually like the Harry Kane side better for anytime goal scorer than I do Mbappe. And the reason being is, if we're hearing the whispers of, was Mbappe out there for himself or was he out there for France, right? Like, you're just hearing those whispers, whether those are true or not. You can decide amongst yourselves here, if you're a footballer, to figure out, was it Mbappe the reason why they didn't get it done, because he's being a little bit too selfish? Well, Jensen, I wonder if he wanted to show that, like, the ultimate fall on your sword moment. Not to say he wouldn't play, but does Mbappe, he like, I want to show you guys that I don't care about the Golden Boot. I'm not interested in the individualism of this award. And because we, France, can't win this World Cup because our performance was lackluster against Spain, I'll take myself out early in this thing. Everybody still wants to watch him play. So I think it would be selfish if he didn't play at all. But, man, I think you're going to get Harry Kane, because we don't know we're going to get this anytime soon. And you know you're going to get Messi for 90 minutes out there, right, and more time potentially with extra time. I don't know that Messi's ever going to come off the pitch. I just wonder how long Mbappe goes. So that would be one part of that handicap, Jensen, that I feel like he wants to, if he feels like he needs to save face. I don't know that he does, but if he feels like that, I wonder, does he play to the second hydration break and then that's it for Kylian Mbappe? I wouldn't want to see that. I'd like to watch him for the entire time, but I wonder if that's a real possibility that he removes himself from the contest.
So FanDuel does have that insurance, and it also has that super sub that you get credit. Whoever comes in, if they score a goal, you still get paid out on it. So shop around for your different books and the different logistics, if you will, of how those are graded out.
Give me that. I better have that with the super sub. That's like betting golf with ties. I need that tiebreaker in case somebody else instead of Mbappe scores. All right, let's talk some Major League Baseball. We're into the second half of the year. That's next right here at VSiN by the Books.
VSiN by the books, right here on VSiN.
We are back, VSiN by the books, and right now, no better time than the present to become a VSiN Pro subscriber, because if you're going to bet the NFL, and we know you are, whether that's going to be futures, win totals, divisional races, MVP, rookie of the year, or those Super Bowl odds in general, our guide is going to help you get ahead of the market before training camp even begins. You're going to get breakdowns of all 32 teams, projected win totals, and best bets from all of our experts, futures, power ratings, so much more. Get it today with our football special. It's just $175. So the sooner you sign up, the more value you will get. Access to everything we do across every major sport through the Super Bowl in February. That includes daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop projections, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. Head over to VSiN.com/subscribe right now. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. Jensen, I mentioned we are on a historical watch right now here at the British Open in the second round, and that is for Lucas Herbert because he is 8 under par through 13 holes. That's 8 birdies, no bogeys so far in his card. And the lowest round ever in the history of the British Open is a 62. Brendan Grace is the last guy to do it back, ironically, at this golf course at Royal Birkdale. He's on the par five right now in the fairway in two. Mm-hmm. So we'll keep you updated on that. But how about this? Jackson Suber did finish 1 under par. So he's in the house at 6 under after two. And one of your ads, Chris Goddard, 2 under par. Jensen's starting to make his way up that leaderboard very quickly.
Yeah, he looks good. Ludwig has had a nice day as well. 3 under, 2 under for the tournament. Patrick Reed is 6 under for the day and 4 under for the tournament. That is great news. We both have him in an outright market. My guy, Colin Morikawa, looking very sharp. He is 3 under for the day. Clean card right now through 11. He is tied for third, just 3 back. So good start here in the morning, and excited to see what happens in the afternoon as well.
Excited to see what's going to happen in the second half of Major League Baseball. And again, the Mets are already off on the good foot with that 4-1 win last night in Philadelphia. But let's get to the AL West a little bit with some of the bold takes you had at the beginning of the year and how they're looking so far as we now make the turn post All-Star break. Let's start with the A's. Boy, I really like this baseball team here, Jensen. And the last couple weeks, as big a disaster as you could have. But one guy that you picked still having a pretty darn good year.
Nick Kurtz, even with the injury towards the end of the first half here, has had an MVP caliber season. My hot take or bold take in our VSiN MLB betting guide was that Nick Kurtz finishes top three for the American League Most Valuable Player. As we stand right now in the betting market, Dave, he is the fifth choice. He's 18-1 right now, but he has been as high as single digits. At one point, the second betting choice on a nice little hot streak that he had through the year. So we'll continue to watch the injury issues with him, and hopefully he is in good shape headed into the second half once he comes back. Houston barely finishes above 500 and misses the playoffs. Well, Dave, they are 47-51. That puts them under 500. Where they stand in the playoff race, they're actually just a game and a half out. So, okay, you're on the outside looking in. That's okay. We'll take that. The Angels have had a terrible year. But Zach Neto, when you look at kind of where he is overall, I had said my bold take was that he would be a top 10 shortstop in Major League Baseball. Now, if we go by position and we look at where he is right now, he is currently 12th, Dave, in offensive wins above replacement in Major League Baseball as far as shortstops go. So just right on the outside there of the top 10. So we're in good shape there. One of my boldest takes is that the Mariners win the American League West en route to punching their first ever ticket to the World Series. And this is going to be a fight to the finish in the American League West, no question. The Mariners will begin play today, just a game and a half back of the Texas Rangers for the top spot in the West. And they have yet to really play their best baseball. Their expected win loss, Dave, is 50-47. They're currently 48-49. So we're hoping for that positive regression to really find its way through here. And then finally for the Texas Rangers here, Wyatt Langford hits 25 or more homers and steals 25 or more bases. Now, Wyatt Langford has dealt with a handful of injuries so far this year. And you're looking at his total statistics thus far. He has 9 home runs and he has just 6 stolen bases. So we got some work to do there. But if Texas finds their way to the division title, you got to believe that Wyatt Langford's going to be a big part of it.
Let's talk about this division in totality, because I think you and I, for the beginning of it, we saw the growing pains here from Seattle, or maybe just kind of the hangover effect from a year ago when the deep run they had arguably should have gotten to the World Series. I know that they don't want to talk about Game 7 against Toronto. And yet, we both look at Texas and say they're obviously right now in first place with that game and a half lead, a very viable choice to win this division. Do you still, though, look at Seattle, even though they're a game under 500, that the team with the highest ceiling in this division would still be the Mariners, that if they find their way in, and here's where it's going to get tricky. I guess the American League is so down that you might be able to tread water, be around 500 and still be a wild card team. That's it's a possibility this year, but how important is it? Is it the most important factor that you better win this division if you're going to make real inroads here in the postseason?
I think they're fine. I'm not worried about the Mariners, and knowing that Jerry Dipoto, their general manager, has already kind of come out and said in so many words, not only are we going to be active, we're going to be shopping for a middle of the order bat. We are very comfortable in talking about trading one of our starting pitching assets. And I know a lot has been talked about Luis Castillo as that one that would be jettisoned for that right-handed bat that they'd be looking for. The Rangers, you know, with that rotation, and it's a sneaky good bullpen for where the Rangers have been this year. And I don't think a lot of people know. You might, though, after watching the All-Star game. Jacob Blatts is their closer. He's been arguably one of the best relievers in baseball all year. And it's a no-name bullpen, if you will, Dave. Not a lot of stars as far as recognizable names that are occupying that bullpen. But it really begins with DeGrom, Eovaldi. They made the big trade for Mackenzie Gore. Kumar Rocker has been very good for them so far, and they're hoping to get Jack Leiter, back. Unfortunately, he had the ankle surgery, so it could be some time before they potentially see him. So I think they have a little work to do offensively. Langford came back off the injured list Wednesday of the first half, that final week. So they're going to be viable. Now, they have a hell of a start, Dave, to the beginning of the second half. Texas is going to be in Atlanta to take on the Braves. Then they come home to face a surging Chicago White Sox team tied for first in the Central. And then we get a showdown series between them and the Seattle Mariners a week from today. So Wild West indeed, but I still like my preseason prediction that the Mariners will indeed hoist the American League West crown.
You know, it's a team I've asked you a lot about in the last couple months, just kind of monitoring where they are and whether or not we don't know what they're going to do with their big stud in the middle of the lineup here and one of the leading candidates here to win MVP, Yordan Alvarez with the Astros. They are plus 210 to make the postseason. They are 4 games under 500, yet not only right there for the division, but right there for a wild card as well. What do you think they will do? Because if you move on from Alvarez, and you can get a king's ransom back. I'm not saying they should not do that, Jensen, but in the context of this bet to play Houston at over 2-1 to make the postseason, I would have to know that they're holding on to Alvarez. And at this point, I don't know that we can bank on that.
I think they are. I don't think they can pitch. They are just dreadful in the rotation, and that they are going to get a lot of calls about Josh Hader, their closer. He could really bring them a really nice package. And I'm looking at you, Chicago White Sox. If you want that back end bullpen arm, now that Boston has really surged, I don't think the Red Sox are looking to trade Aroldis Chapman or Sonny Gray anytime soon. So I would pivot. I don't think Houston has the horses to be able to do this. And ironically, you look at their schedule. I think Houston play Baltimore at home. The Orioles, I think, could be sellers. Miami is where they will welcome the Marlins in next Monday. We obviously know how high we are on Miami and their prospects for the postseason. And then Houston has to go to Chicago to play the White Sox. So you better win all 3 series if you're going to stay in this race. I just don't see it from a starting pitching angle.
And I hate to white flag it for my nomadic A's, but Jensen, I mean, the last 2 weeks before the break, is that just the death nail that they can't recover from? I mean, obviously 14 games back here below 500.
Man, you look at nine straight losses and their pitching stinks. The problem, Dave, you're playing in a AAA ballpark, and their offense is great. But just ask the Tampa Bay Rays what it was like trying to pitch in a spring training complex at George Steinbrenner Field last year. It's a marked difference. When you play in a big league park, you get big league results. And unfortunately, the Athletics pitching not getting the benefit of the doubt.
When we come back, we're on a record watch here at the British Open. And what about those Motor City Kitties in the NFL? We'll discuss all of that and then some right here on VSiN by the Books.